Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the joy of giving into your kingdom and reaping a harvest of souls for you. That lives will be changed, Father. We'll continue to preach the gospel from this place and around the world, Father, whether it be through the internet, through people traveling to different places, those that we see in our jobs and those in our neighborhood and our neighbors and our friends, Lord, we thank you that you will help us to be a witness and a testimony, Lord. And that, Lord, when we sow the word of God, we'll reap the harvest of people into the kingdom. And, Lord, sometimes it takes money to keep things going, but it also takes us living a righteous life, and it takes us speaking the right words and hearing from you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, now this morning as we look into your word, that you will teach us, that you will guide us, and remind us of the things that you have given us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Father. I would like us to turn to Matthew 22 this morning. Hallelujah. I've been teaching a little bit on this, but I want to look again today at the love of God and love for God, number one. And that's really our first place, is that we can ask ourselves, do we love the Lord? That's my question this morning. Do we love the Lord? And secondly, do we allow his love to dominate our life? Do we allow God's love to dominate our life? And if it does, what difference does that make? What does it look like, and what difference does that make to us? Does it matter? And we see here in the Bible what was happening in Jesus' life. And I want to begin in Matthew 22:34. You've probably heard these scriptures before. Most of us have, but I want us to look at them again. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, or we could say he was testing him or trying him. He says, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus answered and said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So Jesus was saying to them in answer to their question, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? What is the biggest thing? What's the most important law to keep? And of course, now that you and I have been born again, Jesus is talking to them here, but even under the Old Testament, how many know? He said, the Lord your God is one, and we're to love God. Amen. With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second one is that we love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, where do we really find the commandments of God in the Bible? Does anybody know? Really, the Ten Commandments is what he's mostly talking about here. Now, they're talking about they had a whole bunch of other laws that they added and that they kept, and there was a few dietary laws and some different things like that that God did give. But how many know they kept adding and adding and adding, kind of like today, right? When you think about all the laws and on the books, how many know they just keep adding more? You know, somebody did something, they add something else. And so there were, I think it was somewhere around 613 laws there, but I want us to look at just a few laws that God gave Moses. Let's go to Exodus 20 for a minute. Hallelujah. And God gives in Exodus 20 the Ten Commandments. And he says here in verse 1, and God spake all these words, Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that's in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes my name in vain. So he's saying here, these first few commandments refer to God. They say what? Love the Lord. He said, I am your God. You're not to have any other gods before me. You shouldn't make any graven images that even look like anything in heaven or anything else that you're going to worship. In other words, you don't bow down to anyone but me because I'm a jealous God. I'm going to expect you to keep me and me only. And he says, I show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You shall don't take what the Lord thy God's name in vain. And then he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now see, these first part of these commandments deal with God himself. To honor God, amen? And when we see that, he says, what does he say under the new covenant that he gave us? To what? Love the Lord your God. It would cover these commandments. Now he goes on to say, and to love your neighbor as ourselves. So here he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but in the seventh day it is the Sabbath to the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, you nor your sons, nor your daughter, nor your maidservant, nor your manservant, not your cattle or your stranger that's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So right here we have four first commandments. Not to have anything before God, not to have the idols. Okay? Don't take the Lord's name in vain. What? And honor the Sabbath day. Now you have to understand, under the Old Testament, the Sabbath was a type of Jesus who was coming. In other words, no work of man can save you. That's why they had this law about the Sabbath. It was to show them that they cannot keep it or do any work themselves that could save them. It was going to be a work of God alone through Jesus Christ. You see, the Sabbath was holy to the Lord. Now you and I, we live in the Sabbath rest. Because Jesus is our Sabbath rest. You see, every day is holy to the Lord now. Every day. He paid the price. He did the work. And he is now rested. Now we are in what? A place of rest or peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when he said, love the Lord your God, with all your heart. Now, if we're going to love God with all of our heart, we're not going to take his name in vain. We're not going to have other graven images, are we? We're not going to try to do our own you know, save ourselves by our own works. We're not going to have any other gods before our God. See, that is the whole commandment now. Love the Lord your God. Do you see it in there? Every commandment. He said, on these two commandments. Second thing was what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And we see these others. He said, honor, verse 12. We keep the Sabbath day and we honor that. Or they did, because it was the rest. It was a type of the coming Christ. And so they needed to know that. They can't keep that. You can't be good enough in yourself. You can't do enough good works. There is a rest that comes when Jesus pays the price. So honor, verse 12 says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given thee. So we honor our father and mother. Thou shalt not, what? Kill or murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his maidservant, nor his, not his manservant, nor his maidservant, none of his servants, men or women, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Amen. So here you see these last six deal with what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. So Jesus is telling them on these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets. He said it is fulfilled in these two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all our mind. Hallelujah. And with all of our strength. When we do that, we're not going to hate our neighbor. Amen. We're not going to steal from our neighbor, are we? You're not going to have adultery with your neighbor's wife. We're not going to covet their things. We're not going to want those things. Those belong to them. We're going to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Amen. And our neighbor as ourself. And so that's what he's really talking about there, is the commandments. The first four dealing with what? Loving God. And the last six, dealing with loving our neighbor. You're not going to lie about your neighbor if you love them, are you? The Bible says in Romans, it says that love, what, does no harm to his neighbor. Love doesn't do harm to the neighbor. Amen. So that's where we can see that these two commandments fulfill the law of God. These two commandments are fulfilling everything from that old covenant law, isn't it? And so when we love God, we are keeping the law of God. And as a son of God, a child of God, the Bible says what? The commandments of God begin to be written where? In our heart. In our heart. In other words, on our inward man, in our spiritual man, the law of God exists. It's already there. We know what's right and wrong. Why? Because the love of God was placed in us. Hallelujah. Amen. See, the love of God is not the same as the love that man has. What, just a friendship love, is it? There's a love that's a friendship love. You know, there's basically three kinds of love in the Bible. There's agape, right? Agape, the love of God. In other words, the God kind of love. The love that is unconditional. There's no condition to God's love. In other words, he's going to love a person even if they hate him, even if they spit at him, even if they war against his people and against him. He will love them, period. The price was paid. How many know if a person turns, even Hitler, who was in World War two especially. You know, how many know if he had turned to God, God would receive him and forgive him? And it's hard sometimes because in the natural mind we think, man, that person doesn't deserve. No, they don't. But how many know the grace of God, the depth of the grace and mercy of God reaches to the vilest sinner, right? I know sometimes it's difficult. I mean, I think of some atrocities that people have done, and I think, wow, they certainly don't deserve the mercy of God. But how many of us had deserved the mercy of God? There's no man on earth. All have sinned, the Bible said, and fall short of the glory of God, right? All have sinned. At some point, you did sin, but Jesus saved us. And that's the grace of God. We're, you know, the mercy of God and the grace of God, which brings us into what? A fellowship with Him and a changed heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth begins to speak. And when we are filled with the love of God, love for God, and love from God, then it becomes much easier to walk, what, in love with our neighbor. We were talking about the three kinds of love. The agape love of God, that's the love that is unconditional. Endures long, is faithful, will always be there, will never change. Some people say, well, that's kind of like a mother's love. Well, yeah, but a mother's love is still selfish. It's about her baby. know, it still has a little selfishness in there, amen? It's wonderful, and I like it. My mama will love, you know, mama's going to love that baby no matter what. Well, he was the best bank robber, I'll tell you. He might be in prison for bank robbery, but he was the best one. Amen. And they still love. Amen. We should. But this is the love of God, unconditional. It doesn't change. And there's phileo love, right? The love between friendship, like we see with Jonathan and David. He loved him as his friend. They had a kinship, a phileo love. And there's an eros love that a husband and wife may experience, a physical union that takes place. Just that erotic love, we call it sometimes. And so we have things here, and all of those are true love. But when we're talking about love with God, the love of God, which is shed abroad in our heart, that's the divine love, isn't it? It's a love that goes beyond human love. Human love can only go so far, but divine love has no end. And when God said in Romans 5:5, what did he say? He said that the love of God, I believe it's 5:5, yes, Romans 5:5, he said, the love of God, which was shed abroad, it says, hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for good men someone might even dare to die. But God, what did he do? He demonstrates his love. He commendeth his love, or he demonstrates his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was not while we were perfected. It was not when you and I were doing everything right. But when the world was lost, mankind was done, God's love, his unfailing love, his unconditional love, which came once we're born again. What? What is it? It comes and it fills our heart, he said, by the Holy Spirit. He sheds it abroad, verse 5, in our hearts. Now, is that shed abroad in your head? No. See, our head can have all kinds of thoughts sometimes. But we've got to learn to live out of our heart, out of our spiritual man, the part of us that's been born again. See, your emotions are going to tell you all kinds of things. Your mind, your will, your emotions is going to tell you, you know, that person doesn't care about you. This and that, whatever it is. And sometimes it may even be true. But how many know that it's the love of God in our heart that is what we listen to and is poured forth? That is what begins to rise up when we pray, when we worship God. We begin to let that love rise up, that unconditional love for our fellow man. So that when the person, you know, that comes in and, you know, maybe they have all kinds of issues in their life, God doesn't turn them away, and we don't turn them away. Amen. Every person has hope when there's Jesus there. It's just a matter. The only difference between them and you is Jesus. Yeah, but he does drugs and he drinks alcohol and he does all kinds of crazy things and he's done this and done that. But how many know it's the love of God that set you and I free? It was the price that he paid at Calvary. It was that price. And it was that same love that moved on the inside of you and I. See, really, it's when person begins, we know, the Bible says, we talked about this a little bit before, that we pass from what? Death to life. Because, why? Not because we have great miracles, not because all of a sudden everything's, you know, hunky-dory in our life, all of our circumstances change. No, but the love of God begins to be displayed. He said, because we love the brethren. He said, well, where's that? Over here in 1 John. 1 John 3:14. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. In other words, if you're not yet born again, see, he's saying, what kind of capacity do you have to love with the love of God if you're not born again? You have none. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes people can overlook some things and they may see that. But how many know it takes the true love of God to really forgive to the uttermost? Amen. And to continue to love and continue to be that hand extended in the mercy that God gave. Hallelujah. But how do we know people are born again? He says, we know. Because we love the brethren, that we pass from what? Death. Spiritual death to spiritual life. Where? On the inside, in the inward man, in our, what, heart. See, the Bible says it's from the heart that man believes unto righteousness. And then we hook our mouth up with our heart. It says, and we confess Jesus is Lord. We believe in our heart that God raised him, what? From the dead, and with the mouth confession is made. I believe Jesus is the Savior of all. In other words, it's not just in my opinion. Now he said, if you confess or call upon the name of Jesus, you shall be what? Saved. Now if we're saved, what he's saying here in 1 John 14, we know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brother. Well, how are we going to know that you're loving the brother? Because you're acting differently. Amen. If you've really passed from death to life, there's a difference on the inside. Amen. We don't hate our brother, but we love the brother. In other words, there is a love that's there that wasn't there before. And he even goes on. He says, hey, if you're hating someone, not us per se, a lot of times that's our soul or our mind or emotions are telling us some things. But when we look down into our heart, into our spirit, the love of God's in there. And he's going to be saying, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You love your brethren. Yeah, but they, you know, what does the enemy say? They did you wrong. Ooh, you mean a brother did me wrong? Yeah, a brother. How many know? Even though we got that love in there, we have to choose to act on it. Amen? That's right. It's in there. But we have to choose to continually act on it. It is an act of our will, our surrendered will, to what? To the will of God. To the love of God. The life of God that's in there. If we don't ever acknowledge, hey, I've got the love of God in me, then what causes me to change? There's nothing there. We are living by the Spirit of God. That new nature, that love nature that's on the inside. And the Bible says when that does, see, that's really the compassion of God. When we sense God's love for another that's hurting. Many times, you know, we'll see different ones get that in prayer. You know, you may find that weeping on the inside because you want to see a change. That's the compassion of God. And we all know, we all know what? Jesus was what? Moved with compassion. That's the love of God in action to do something about that situation. Many times he was moved with compassion. What? Healed their sick. See, compassion is something that flows from within because the love of God is in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, when we spend time with Him, we spend time in worship, right? We begin to get the manifested presence of God, and the love of God to us begins to become so real, it sets us free. And we become a reservoir of a greater recognition and a greater release of His love from the inside of us. Amen. We become a reservoir of that love. If it's shed abroad in your heart, then there must be a reason for it. There's a reason why. And does that matter? Yes, it matters. Because if we'll tap into our spiritual man, what? Number one, of course, we know praying in the Holy Spirit. When we spend time praying in tongues, everything that God is to you, everything God is in you, and we read there what's in us, the love of God, which is shed abroad in our heart, everything He is in us and everything that He wants to be what? Through us, which is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. It's the compassion of God. He wants to flow. And when that flow comes, there's a compassion that's deeper than yourself that begins to produce a result that man can't do on his own. We can't do it. We are limited in our fleshly man. But if we spend time with the love Himself, Bible says what? God is love. And everybody says, well, yeah, we know that, brother. It says so in the Bible. Yes. God is love. Let me just read 1 John 4, verse 7. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we ought to live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we saw earlier that what? The love of God is shed abroad where? In our heart by the Holy Spirit. And if we dwell, it says, and so whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. There it is, 16. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. So we have known that love to us right there. God is love. And we dwell what? He dwells in us and we dwell in Him, or we live in Him. We abide in Him. He abides in us. And that was Jesus' prayer in John 17, that they may be, what, one. And that you may love them, Father, just as you love me. In other words, God in us, love in us, dwelling on the inside of our spiritual being, can then what? Come forward in our fellowship with Him. We become the reservoir and carriers of that love. And compassion is simply another word for saying love in action, God in action. Hallelujah. Matthew 9. Let's look at Matthew 9, 36 for a minute. In different places, Jesus was moved with that love, that compassion. And that same compassion that He was moved with, which was shed abroad in you and I's heart, is the same compassion that'll flow what? Through us. It flows to us. It works in us. And it also flows what? Out of us, through us. When we are having that time with the Father, our fellowship, our intimacy is building with Him, then that love continues to be more, we become more aware of it, more aware of how much what? He loves us and how much He loves others. That change continues to build on the inside of us. He said, we know that we pass from death to life when we, because we love the brother and we love our fellow man. Amen. We love our neighbor as ourselves. But verse 36 says this, says, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted or they became weary. Okay. As sheep having no shepherd. And what did He say to those that are weary and heavy laden? He says, come to me. I'll give you rest. He saw them as sheep having no shepherd. They didn't have anyone to lead them. They didn't have anyone to care for them. And He began to minister to them. He says to His disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, and He'll send out these laborers into the harvest. He'll send out those that will have that heart of compassion. Because they don't see anybody. How many know there are people that are looking for God right now? They're hungry for Him. They're all around you. They are. They're looking for Him. But you know what? If we don't say something, they're not going to hear. There has to be a moving of compassion in our heart. Not just for us. God has compassion on us, but He wants to have, He had compassion upon what? The whole world. Did He not die for the sins of the whole world? Did He die for your fellow man? Amen. For your neighbor? Now, if we could go in to find out, we know who our neighbor is, amen? It's the one that's hurting, the one that's broken. It was the Samaritan in that day. You know, nobody wanted to touch the Samaritan. Are there people today that they, you know, at least the church wants you to stay away from? Don't get involved with that group. Don't touch that person. No, the compassion of God moves in us. And we are moved and we see them, lost sheep without the shepherd. Jesus saw them. Matthew 14, 14. We see the compassion of God. See, there's a reason that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart and my heart. It's not just so that we're loved of God. is so that His love can demonstrate itself. Amen. Amen. 14 says this, 14:14 of Matthew. It says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick." When's the last time you were moved with compassion? Amen. Yeah, we can be moved with compassion. We need to pray. But how many know that prayer is supposed to result in an answer? Amen. To bring relief to the situation. To bring healing to Sister Joy from hiccups. The compassion of God. The love of God. The manifestation of His power begins to become real when we recognize, hey, I've got the love of God shed abroad somewhere. I'm to love what? My God, with all my heart. Lord, I worship You. I magnify You. And that love becomes more and more real on the inside of me. My emotions are stabilized. My heart is filled to overflowing. You say, well, what do you mean? I mean what Ephesians 5 says. It says right over here in Ephesians chapter 5. What does it say? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. How many think we've got a few evil days right now? I know it's been evil days since Jesus passed. And there have been things that have been happening, but more and more we're moving to the end of time. Whether we like it or we don't, that's why we're still here. Amen. But the love of God does something. Here He says, how do we cultivate that more and more? It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And don't be drunk with wine, where is an excess. Hallelujah. Or dissipation, some people say. Could be that word, excess, or where you're so drunk, you're out of your mind. Amen. Don't get drunk. But be what? Filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So here we see that Paul begins to speak to a church. They said, well, they were filled. Yes, they're filled with the Spirit. These are the very ones in Ephesians where they said they hadn't yet heard there be any Holy Spirit. And Paul says, well, receive the Holy Spirit. And they begin to pray. So we know they are Spirit-filled Christians. Nevertheless, he's saying here, understand the will of God. Don't get drunk with wine, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. How many know when you're filled with God? The faith of God rises. The love of God, the compassion of God begins to rise up on the inside of you and things begin to change because you're speaking in psalms and hymns. You sing spiritual songs to the Lord. Make melody in your heart to Him. Lord, I love You. I worship You. I magnify You. You're not caught up in the world system, but you're caught up in a world of God. In another realm that begins to move into your realm and change circumstances around you. Not just in your life, but in the life of others also. Hallelujah. How many know you are a conduit for the love and compassion of God? And you can set men free with your words. How many know that word that's fitly spoken is like what? Apples of gold in the setting of silver. Oh, my goodness, it is just what I needed. It brought relief to my heart. God wants to use you in those things. He wants to allow the mind of the Father to be established through you. Because how many knows when you're in His presence, His mind, you start thinking a little differently, see? When you get moved over there and you are walking according to the new nature, that spiritual man, that man on the inside, because you're what? Singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. You become a thankful person. See, in the last days, the Bible said there'll be a people that are unthankful. But when you remain thankful and you begin to understand, hey, God loves me, number one. His love what? To me. His love and His working in me. Hallelujah, where I become that reservoir. And then His love what? His compassionate love through me, which brings results out here for me and for others. Amen. For you and for others. When you walk with Him, how many know you get His wisdom? Your mistakes are going out the window. Amen. Your prosperity is going to start increasing. Your blessings are going to be coming in. And they're going to be able to go out because it's the love of God. That's what really changes us. That's really who we are. We are a loved child of a loved God. His love, which was shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. He said, what? Love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, all of our strength, all that is within us, and love our neighbor as ourself. Amen. We're going to fulfill all that law, and we're going to be able to operate and begin to walk and begin to talk in a manner that His compassion can flow. His ability, which is really what we have and what we need to flow. Amen. Continue to flow. So let's spend some time with Him in that what worship, that thanksgiving, those spiritual songs, ministering to the Lord, which is where we find out what? His perfect will, His will. His will that all men be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. That's all of us. His will is that all would confess Jesus as Lord. Amen. And you're one of those that are there. Amen. You and I, we're part of that. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand up and pray. Well, I guess we can stand. We'll pray when we stand. If you're there at home, I want to encourage each of us to cultivate that love. That love that's shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. We saw some ways to do that. What? When we begin to minister to the Lord. In psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in our heart to the Lord, giving thanks. When's the last time you took an hour or 20 minutes to sit down and just say, Lord, I just want to thank you for what you've done right here, this one thing. I'm just going to thank you. Or maybe you've never really thanked Him for saving you. Maybe you've done some and you say, yeah, I've done that all the time, but have you ever really sit down and said, Lord, I'm going to take these next 30 minutes and just thank you for saving me. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Or something that He's done in your life. Maybe He healed something in your body. Amen. How many know the price was paid? Maybe it's not there yet, but you want to spend some time thanking Him for it and see it happen in your life. Amen. Isn't that right, Brother Joe? Amen. You can have a miracle. You know how to get your miracle? I'll help you. We'll help you. Amen. Taking the Word of God. How many know? Thanksgiving brings that presence. Amen. All right. Father, we thank you for your Word today. We thank you that as we depart, Father, that we are carriers of your love and your compassion. And that, Father, when your compassion flows, Father, things around us are going to change. We thank you for that, Lord, and we give you glory and we give you praise. As we fellowship with you and we understand the compassion of God will flow for mankind, we give you glory and we give you the praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.